Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. At this time, we would like to welcome everyone to Raia Drogasil conference call to discuss its 2013 results. The audio for this conference is being broadcast simultaneously through the internet in the website www.raiadrogasil.com.br/ri. In that address, you can also find the slideshow presentation available for download. We inform that all participants will only be able to listen to the conference during the conference presentation. After the company's remarks are over, there will be a question and answer period. At that time, future instructions will be given. Should any participant need assistance during this conference, please press star zero for reaching an operator. Before proceeding, let me mention that forward-looking statements are being made under the safe harbor of the Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1996. Forward-looking statements are based on the beliefs and assumptions of Raia Drogasil management and on information currently available to the company. Forward-looking statements are not guarantees of performance. They involve risks, uncertainties, and assumptions because they relate to future events and therefore depend on circumstances that may or may not occur in the future. Investors should understand the general economic conditions, industry conditions, and other operating factors could also affect the future results of Raia Drogasil and could cause results to differ materially from those expressed in the such forward-looking statements. Today with us are Mr. Marcílio Pousada, CEO, Mr. Eugênio Zagottis, Investor Relations and Corporate Planning Vice President, and Gabriel Rosenberg, IR and Corporate Planning Director. Now I turn the conference over to Mr. Marcílio Pousada. Sir, you may begin your conference.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Raia Drogasil results presentation for the fourth quarter of 2013. As always, Eugênio will present the highlights of the year. Just before the Q&A, I would like to stress a few points about 2013 and our challenges for 2014. Eugênio, please.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for attending our conference call. To start with, I would like to give an overview for the year. We believe 2013 was a year full of contrasts. It was a very disappointing year in terms of our financial results. It's a year we were definitely not happy about. At the same time, it was a year of significant breakthroughs towards building the vision that we had at the time of the merger for the company, as we have significant advance in our integration, as we are preparing the company for a leap in execution, for a leap in service to our consumers, and for a leap in creating value for our shareholders. We opened in the year 967 stores. Sorry, we ended the year with 967 stores. We opened a total of 131 stores, which is an actual record, not only for the company, but for the Brazilian drugstore sector, and maybe for the Brazilian retail sector at large. I'm not sure about that, but at least I haven't seen any reference for an opening pace like this. We have also closed 24 stores as part of a closure program that has already been concluded, and that's a closure program that we had intended to do and had communicated ever since Raia and Drogasil came together. We did 6.5 billion reais in revenues last year. We grew 15.6% with 9.3% of same-store sales. It's very important to highlight that we have added in the year 0.9 billion reais, even considering the store closures. We added fully organically a mass of revenues equivalent to the eighth largest drugstore player in Brazil. It's very significant. We did an EBITDA of 357 million, a margin of 5.5%, and an increase of 9.6%. As I mentioned, we lost 0.2 percentage points in EBITDA margin versus the previous year as a result of mature stores not growing in line with inflation and as a result of the loss of operating leverage that we had at our stores. Net income on an adjusted basis totaled 176 million, with a net margin of 2.7%. One of the highlights of the year was the fact that we generated positive free cash flows of 45 million reais in spite of the weaker results in the year, and in spite of a very strong investment program undertook last year. And even when you consider interest on capital, we still posted a positive 22 million reais in total cash flow generation. So cash self-sustainability is something very important for us, and it's something that we believe to keep posting from now on. On page four, talking about our growth, as we mentioned, we opened 131 stores. We closed 24 stores, and we suspended 4 stores during the year. Suspensions mean stores that are temporarily closed for rebranding, generally from higher order to Brazil to Farmazil, but sometimes even from higher to Brazil or vice versa. The 24 closures that we had, they have been part of a synergy program announced since the time of the merger. If we consider the last 2 years, we closed a total of 37 stores in the program. But it's important to highlight that a very small number of stores that we have closed in this period is related to store development mistakes in the recent years. Only 12 stores of the 37 have been opened since 2010. So we're talking that we, in average, we had 6 stores per year that we can consider in new mistakes in our investment program. And this is a reasonable pace, closing 5-6 stores per year, and this is what we expect for 2014. But the other 25 stores have been legacy stores that have been closed due to the portfolio optimization that we did. So we have very often 2 stores that were subpar stores, even if positive, that were side by side. So we had significant opportunity to close one store, to migrate revenues to the surviving store, and to end up with one good store instead of 2 bad stores. The program has been concluded now, and from now on we still close stores, but that's part of the normal life, and we expect a rate of 5, 6, 7 per year, not more than that. By year end, the age structure of our portfolio included 33% stores still undergoing maturity. So these are stores that are not generating their full potential, and as the stores mature, they will become a significant lever of profitability for the company. Page 5. We didn't enter in any new markets last year, so we stayed in the same 12 markets that we had before that account for nearly 83% of the Brazilian pharmaceutical market, so it's a very broad geographic presence. Out of the 967 stores we had by year-end, 495 were Drogasil or Farmazil. Farmazil is a sub-brand of Drogasil, so we have classified as Drogasil. When we achieve a relative scale, we can start separating Farmazil, but as of now, we don't think it's worth. For higher, 472 stores in total. We are publishing comparable market shares. This is the market share excluding new informant added to IMS panel during the year. So we had a comparable market share growth of 0.3 percentage points from 9.4 to 9.7 at a national level. We posted a slight margin loss in Sao Paulo, 0.1 percentage points. A slight margin gain on the Southeast, which does now include Sao Paulo. So the Southeast is basically Minas Gerais, Espírito Santo, and Rio de Janeiro. And then strong gains in the Midwest, in the South, and the Northeast. If you consider the new stores open, not open, but new informants added to the base during the year, distorted comparability, we ended last year with 9.4% of share, but we cannot compare that figure with the previous year because it's 2 different base of informants. The comparable number is a 0.3% national growth. On page 6, we discuss our revenue growth for the year. Last year was a challenging year in terms of sales by any means. We grew 15% over the whole year, and it's important to mention that the closing and suspension of stores impacted our numbers by 1.2 percentage points. So we would have 16.8, not considering the stores that were closed or suspended. We ended the fourth quarter already at a much better pace with 17.5% growth. Same store sales grew 11.6%, grew 9.3% for the year, but in the fourth quarter they were already 11.9, which is a good number. And for mature stores, 4.7% for the whole year versus 6% for the fourth quarter. So we ended the year with our stores in line with inflation. And this was very, very important for us, and this is something that happened that helped a lot in the fourth quarter numbers, and that sets a positive trend for mature store growth above inflation for 2014, probably starting the first quarter already. Talking about our product mix, the highlight of the year was OTC. We benefited from shifting OTC exposure from behind the counter to the front store at Raia. And at Drogasil, as stores have been progressively renovated, we have also brought OTC to the front store. So this has helped. Other categories within OTC, like vitamins, this is a very important category. It's a category that had not been well developed by our suppliers, but last year we had a great year in vitamins as the market leader, Richard Centrum, launched several new items. We improved its execution. Our private label also helped, and the two brands, they pushed the whole category, so what you see was a very good number. Generics have been challenging, and we don't deny that. Over the full year, we lost 0.2 percentage points, and the fourth quarter was particularly very challenging with only 11.2% of penetration for generics. What happened here is that we are swimming upstream. So what happens here is that we haven't had any new major generics launched, so our whole improvement now depends on our execution. We want to at least maintain generic constant and not growing based on improvements in execution of generics. I think the new system at Drogasil will be instrumental to push generics penetration, and even at Raia we have things that we can do to deliver better generics penetration. Page 8, like to discuss our gross margins for the year and our cash cycle. We increased gross margins 0.1, so pretty much in line with the previous year. But when we look at the fourth quarter, we see a 0.4 percentage point gross margin contraction. There is nothing wrong with the fourth quarter of this year. What happened is that the fourth quarter of last year was very, very high. It was by any means a peak number. Both numbers are fully comparable because the tax impacts that we had due to the new tax regime that we adopted during the whole 2013, it happened before that. So in both quarters, both the fourth quarter 12 and 13, we have a fully comparable base. But the fourth quarter 12 came after a very weak third quarter 12, where we had grown only, we only had a gross margin of only 26.2. So probably we had a higher concentration of trade allowances in the fourth quarter as opposed to the third quarter of last year. When we consider 26.7, this is absolutely in line with the performance of that we had in every non-seasonal quarter last year. So we had 26.8 in the third quarter, we had 26.6 in the first quarter. The second quarter was slightly higher, but this is a seasonal quarter in which forward buying and inflationary gains on inventories generally produces very high margin numbers. Last year we didn't surf that wave as we did not do any forward buying, and as we had a change in purchasing model that ate the benefit from the inflationary gain of inventories. But when we compare the fourth quarter with every non-seasonal quarter last year, it was pretty much in line. So this is not, there is nothing wrong here. We are now in December. We left the previous tax regime, and we're back to the tax substitution regime. This will help our margins by approximately 0.4 percentage points, and we believe we'll see the whole margin improvement booked in already in the second quarter of the year after the whole inventories have been rotated. Another important thing to explain here is that as we got back to the tax substitution, which is a much better regime in terms of gross margins, we have a penalty in cash cycle, because under the tax substitution regime, we buy all of the merchandise with taxes already pre-collected by our suppliers. While in the regime that we just opted out from, we used to pay taxes only when we transferred items from the deceased to the stores. So to enter the new tax regime, we had to pay taxes on inventory. So we basically do an inventory count, and we pay the taxes to the state on those inventories. These taxes on inventories represent 4.1 days of cash cycle that we booked already in the fourth quarter of the year. So when you look at the cash cycle, even though it looks like we only improved 1.1 days, the reality is that on a comparable basis, taking out the tax effect, we would have a cash cycle improvement of 5.9 days. This is very, very significant. And this has been boosted by a very important inventory level reduction that has been pursued over the whole 2013. In the fourth quarter, we ended with 84.8 days of inventories, an improvement of 1.5 days of inventories, even considering that our cash cycle increased by 4.1 days as a consequence of the adoption of the tax substitution. So if we don't consider that, then we have a very strong inventory reduction. So on a comparable basis, inventory went down significantly, cash cycle went down significantly, in such a way that it absorbed the tax penalty to get back to the new tax regime, and still allowed a small 1.8 day gain to subsist. Another important thing to highlight here is that as we had decreased our purchasing, especially in generics, over the whole year, over the most of the year, after we paid the last outstanding invoices, in the second and third quarter specifically, our cash cycle was penalized by a very low days of accounts payable. Now, as we are now, after reducing inventory, as we are now replenishing normally, our accounts payable have got back to where they should be. So this helped show the effect of the inventory reduction that was previously offset by a transitory penalty in accounts payable. On page 9, talking about sales expenses, our sales expenses increased 0.7% percentage points in the year. So out of this increase, 0.3 was payroll increases, 0.2 was rental, and 0.2 was marketing. And something that is important to mention here, I mean, in a year in which margins went down by 0.3, 0.2 was a choice that we made, was the market investment that we made. The point here is that our managing horizon is not the quarter and it's not the year. We do whatever it takes to be successful in the middle term, in the longer term. This market investment certainly did not pay off last year, but it's very important and it pays off over a longer term. So whenever we have to take a choice of posting beautiful numbers of doing what's right, we do what's right. And this is, I think, a very, very good example of that. When you look at the fourth quarter, we had a flat sales expenses performance, which we deem as a victory. Maintaining sales performance, sales expenses flat in an inflationary environment, we think it's a very good number. And the main reasons on why we have been able to do that in the fourth quarter is, first, better expense control. Second, the store closures are helping because we took off the less productive stores. And third, we are seeing a better sales environment. And as a result, we are achieving better dilution. People think of sales expenses as variable, but they're not variable. Payroll and rental, they're fixed. When revenues are good, dilution is good. When revenues are tough, dilution doesn't happen. So the sales performance is determinant in sales expense dilution. Next page, G&A. We have been very successful in diluting G&A. Ever since the merger of Hydro Brasil, we have maintained the corporate G&A constant in inflation and inflation-adjusted terms. So the total number of G&A has increased only by inflation ever since our merger, while the number of stores that we have supervised decreased by 20%. As a result of this dilution, we saw last year a 0.3 percentage point dilution in G&A, both in the year and in the fourth quarter, and we expect to keep diluting G&A in 2014 and maybe 2015. As a result, we had a 0.3 percentage point pressure in the annual EBITDA, due, as I mentioned previously, the tough sales scenario in which mature stores grew below inflation and lost operating leverage. And we also saw a recovery in the fourth quarter by maintaining, for the first time in the year, the same margins of the previous year. Something that we highlight here is the impact of the stores opened in the calendar year over the fourth quarter performance. So we started, we had in the fourth quarter of the year 836 stores that were already in operation in December 2012. So in 2012, by year end, we have even a higher number of stores, but then we closed some. So 836 are the existing stores that were in operation ever since the end of the fourth quarter. So these stores alone, not considering the new stores that have been added through the year, they posted in the quarter 1.6 billion gross revenues, 104 million of EBITDA, fully absorbing corporate G&A and logistics, and then they posted 6.4% of EBITDA in the fourth quarter over slightly lower revenue base. So this highlights the impact of the new stores on our profitability. Whenever you look at valuation, I mean, if you forget that we have opened a lot of recent stores that are still generating negative productivity, but will create value over their maturation term, I think it's important to consider that to see the whole picture. Page 12, depreciation increased 0.3 percentage points in the year due to an acceleration in our investment program and increased 0.2 percentage points in the fourth quarter. Financial expenses also increased 0.2 in the year as we maintained in the year an average net debt higher than the previous year. But as the net debt improved significantly in the fourth quarter, we maintain a constant net financial expenses of 0.1 percentage points. Then taxes improved significantly as we have booked goodwill amortization. So 0.7 percentage points increase improvement over the previous year. When we compare the fourth quarter, we are comparing a quarter in which we had tax shield from goodwill over the whole quarter this year versus a quarter in 2012 in which I think only in December we had booked goodwill, the tax shield on goodwill. So it's not fully comparable, but it helped increase adjusted profitability by 0.6 percentage points in the fourth quarter. As a result, we had a slight net income increase of 0.1 percentage points on an adjusted basis and a 0.4 percentage points increase in the fourth quarter. Page 14, I would like to give a lot of emphasis on non-recurring expenses. We are in the middle of a significant change program due to the integration of Raia do Brasil. We have had significant advances in the end of 2013 and in the beginning of 2014. We have finished the corporate integration and we are paving the way now for unified checkout system in the store. Marcelo will cover that into a higher level of detail. But what happens here is that we don't affect the level of change we're affecting without non-recurring expenses. And we give full disclosure of non-recurring expenses so that any investor can understand it and consider it in any way it seems fit. So we did, over the full year, 48.5 million in non-recurring expenses. It's a high number, we know it, but it's the cost of doing the integration, of building the company that we are building. In the fourth quarter alone, it was 14.5 million. The point that I'd like to stress here is that already from the first quarter of 2014, we'll see a radical reduction in non-recurring expenses, and for very clear reasons. Last year, we spent $15.5 million in store closure. This is basically non-cash asset write-offs, but they're still expenses. Now, store closures will be zero, because even though we'll be closing a couple of stores, maybe five, six stores, they'll be part of the recurring profitability of the company. The program is over. The program is successfully concluded. So already in January, when you look at our non-recurring expenses, you see zero in store closures. Farmacia Popular, same story. We have $13.3 million in the year. We subsidized stores and lost the licenses in corporation. Over the years of that, we recovered the licenses. Those expenses they started last year were $5.5 million in the first quarter and dropped significantly until $1.8 in the last quarter. And now we have zero for the first quarter 14, as every single original store that is already fully relicensed, up and running with the program. Service expenses, we had $9.1 million service expenses. We had changes in the management structure of the company. We had restructurings and people leaving the company. And in the fourth quarter, you can see an increase in severance of $4.4 million. What happens here is that we still have some severance expenses for next year, but we have provisioned those expenses in the fourth quarter. So as we are using the provision for next year, we'll also book zero of non-recurring expenses as far as our severance expenses. And finally, we booked last year $7.1 million in consulting expenses. We still have consulting expenses, but to a lesser degree. So non-recurring expenses will not be zero. Especially in the first quarter, consulting expenses they existed because we had the support of consultants to conclude the corporate integration. We still have some level of consulting taking place to support us in the integration, but a much lower expense volume. So I think no recurring expenses for next year will be a very, very low number. On page 15, I'd like to give more colors on our free cash flow, which I think was one of the highlights of the years. We generated an operating cash flow of 282 million reais in the year, already considering working capital. We invested a significant amount, 236.8 million reais in the year. Not only we opened 131 stores, but we have also accelerated renovation of new stores, of existing stores, especially the Brazil. So we had a free cash flow of 45 million reais. I mean, I think this is significant. You take a year in which we invested 236 million, a year in which our performance was deteriorated and we lost operating margin, still 45 million of free cash flow. I think this is an achievement. This amount was even sufficient to pay interest on our equity, on a cash basis of 29 million, to pay net financial expenses, net of the respective tax shields, and to post a total cash flow of 22 million reais in the year. On page 18, this is something we don't talk much, but I think it's important to highlight. I mean, we have had, even before the merger with Raia do Brasil, a very significant commitment to sustainability, to the triple bottom line. I think we have had very strong social inclusion programs and social mobilization programs and even environmental initiatives. I think we have not shed enough light on them in the past, and I think it's important to disclose the stuff that we are doing. We have a model social inclusion project in Brazil. We employ more than 900 handicapped employees as part of the side-by-side project, and they are fully located, fully deployed to our store. We're not the only company in Brazil to have handicapped people. This is even a legal requirement. The difference is that we're not hiding our people in distribution centers, in call centers. We're putting them in store where the social inclusion is full, in which the clients see what we're doing and appreciate what we're doing. So this is something we believe a lot in that. Another thing is that we have very little donations to social enterprises that come from our profitability, but we use our critical mass to mobilize suppliers, to mobilize consumers, and to generate resources to causes that we believe in, that we believe are worthwhile. So last year we collected 3.3 million reais that were used to fund selected NGOs. So Raya has a social magazine named Sorria, in which revenues are fully net of taxes are fully channeled to NGOs. So last year we donated as a result of Sorria 1.7 million reais, mostly to this amount was donated both to GRAC, which is a reference Yale center for cancer in Brazil, and for the Instituto Ayrton Senna. This is a foundation that manages education in underprivileged areas. And if you look since 2008, we have collected and donated more than 12 million reais. And the bulk of that has gone to GRAC to fund the new hospital in São Paulo. So it's something that I think it's very material. Leveraging the learning of the Raya Social Magazine and leveraging our capacity to multiply this initiative, we launched the Bem Mais magazine at Drogasil. So already in the first year, we collected and donated 0.9 million reais to Obra do Berço. This is an NGO that assists needy families. And Drogasil has also had another program that we call Solidary Change, in which we invite clients to round up their purchases, and then we collect this extra amount. I mean, it's generally cents for each consumer, but 0.7 million reais in total for the year, and we're donating that amount to AACG, which is an NGO specialized in assisting disabled children. Another thing is in terms of environmental endeavors. I think the main program that we have, and still a program concentrated at Raya, is a conscious waste program, in which this is not something mandatory by law. It's something that we do because we believe in. So we have 231 Raya stores that are fully equipped to receive returns of medicines from consumers, either used medicines, medicines that won't be used anymore, medicines that have been expired or whatever. So we take these medicines, we collect these medicines. We have collected 22 tonnages of residuals last year, and then we dispose this waste correctly, considering the best environmental practice possible. And our estimate is that we are preserving up to 9,000 liters of water that could have been contaminated by such waste. And finally, before passing to Marcelo, I think we had a very low share price by year end. Our share price, we had a share price reduction last year of nearly 36%, even below the Ibovespa, as a consequence, I think, of our disappointing results, and also as a function, I think, of the whole investment environment in Brazil. But already, in the beginning of this year, we have our share price is now at something like 16.4. So we have a share increase year to date of 11%, and I think this is just the beginning to put the company back where it should be. I'm now passing to Marcelo to comment on our challenges for next year.
Okay, let's go to, before proceeding with your management challenge for 2014, I wish to highlight two very important achievements in 2013, okay, with the results 2013. The first one, we concluded the unification of our corporate system. As announced, we finalized the conversion of all those stores which were migrated to our retail platform. We started rollout last September, and the final stores were converted on February 28 during the carnival. We now have 970 high-end Drogasil stores fully connected to our 76 under the very same retail platform and the very same financial and account systems, all is together. This integration will help us in unifying our corporate structure and process and allow us to achieve leap execution in customer service and developer creation. The second achievement for this year, in my point of view, is that we opened 131 new stores. Even with our old team focused on the system integration 2014, we opened these new stores.
during the year, ahead of both for Hydro Brasil and for the Brazilian drugstore industry. The expansion plan has allowed us to extend our presence in the markets in which we are the leaders, like São Paulo and Goiânia, and also to increase our presence in recent markets like Mato Grosso, Mato Grosso do Sul, and Bahia. The team and the intelligence that we have for stores developing are unique in the industry and represent a huge competitive advantage in relation to our competitors. This has allowed us to lead the consolidation of our industry, not only in terms of the number of stores, but also regarding property quality and expected returns. Please, let's go to slide 18, and we'll try to stress the challenges for 2014, okay? There are four main challenges in this year. The number one challenge is sustainable growth and financial discipline. We intend to open 100 stores per year in the coming years with great financial discipline. We expect high marginal returns and positive cash flow to generations just like 2013. As our listing mature markets have increased year after year, we are balancing stores in these markets which enter new states, especially in Northeast that you go more, put more stores in this year. We also focus on new formats, not only Farmazil, still in pilot stage, but also with different execution for Raya and Brasil, including both compact stores or larger formats in small markets or in big markets also. The second challenge will be the productivity gains. With the end of the integration of the corporate systems and the beginning of the unification of the checkout systems, we will review our store process to simplify our activities and to increase the opportunities and the service standards to our customers. The sustainability margin expansion we expect depends on a controlling selling expenses in the scenario of inflation. Our focus will be on initiatives that promote mature store growth above inflation and that reduce selling expense without jeopardizing the service to our customers. At the corporate level, we intend to intensify the control of administrative expense and to increase in gross margin through category management and to increase the penetration of the private label and generics. Our third challenge for 2014 will be increase the omnichannel position. We are one of the leaders in Brazil in telesales and e-commerce, but we are still operating standalone. We know the importance of an integrated omnichannel platform to enhance the shopping experience of our customers. It's a journey in the medium term, but we are already moving in that direction. In 2013, we unified telesales and e-commerce for Drogaria as a single service under the brand Drogaria.com. And in December, we launched the drogazil.com.br website. Furthermore, we unified the full range structure for both brands in the single site, and we will upgrade your IT infrastructure in 2014, creating the basis for our vision and the basis for the growth for the next years. And our last challenge will be aligning incentives. We implement in 2030 a compensation program based on overall goals for the company or for each individual executive. We intend to improve this model through a variable compensation program based on the 6 shares that was approved by our board for submission to the General Assembly. We have to transform our main executives like CEO, VP, and directors in shareholders, try to align long-term interests and establish activity mechanisms to retain our key talent. Now you can move to the questions. Thank you very much.
At this time, I would like to remind everyone in order to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad at this time. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. Mr. Ruben Couto of Brasil Plural would like to make a question.
Hi, this is actually Guilherme Assis. Thanks for taking the call. My question is, I'd like to have some color on the revamping plan for the Drogasil stores. Can you tell us a little bit about of how many stores you have already remodeled and how many more you're planning on remodeling this year, and about the schedule for the remodeling? That's one question. And I have also a second question, which is regarding the system integration. I would like to understand for the checkout system that you already said that you're planning on finishing this by the end of this year. I'd like to understand a little bit more about what would be the potential gains that you expect from the integration of the checkout system. Those are my questions. Thank you.
Guilherme, thank you for the questions. I don't have here the exact number of stores that we opened last year. That we renovated last year. Since the merger until, let's say, the middle of last year, the focus of renovations were higher. We had several higher that were ran down stores. We don't have Drogasil stores that are ran down. The kind of intervention that we are doing is functional. We are changing the store layout, and we're pretty much doing, let's say, a category management shock at the stores. We are changing layouts. We are bringing products, OTC products, from the pharmacy part to the front store. We are organizing better the categories among the stores. And we are moving the checkout from the front of the store to the side, and this opens more space for selling gondolas and so on. Ever since the second semester, whatever we did in the second semester of last year onwards was pretty much Drogasil. And we still have a very strong program for this year. There will be higher stores as well, but the focus is Drogasil. Another thing to mention is that for at least a year, we have been opening Drogasil in the correct format. So probably when we finish this year, I would say that 30 to 40% of the Drogasil stores will have been already fully renovated. And because we're starting with the main stores, those that have higher potentials, this is a Pareto situation. So 40% of the stores may mean 60% of the potential and something like that. So this is progressing very well. We start to see improvements with Brazil. We are having, as a total for the company, a better first quarter in terms of revenues, slightly ahead of inflation for mature stores. And in Brazil, we are still below inflation, but we are moving in the right direction. We have the whole first semester where Raya will be posting very strong numbers, carrying the momentum from last year over a weaker comp base. In the second semester, Raya will face a high comp, and Raya will probably get down a couple basis points in mature store growth. At that point, we need Drogasil to do the magic, to fill the void of this potential reduction in the Raya growth. But it's still a year in which we believe Raya will be doing very well over the year, and Drogasil will probably end well the year, but if Drogasil is at inflation or even slightly above the second semester, this is a number we can deal with since Raya will be doing well, and then positioning 2015 where both brands should be doing well. This is an industry in which the cycle is long. I mean, all the mistakes that we do, they don't harm us the next day. They take a while to show the effect. And likewise, I mean, when we do things right, when we focus on execution and when we bring the company to a new momentum in terms of store execution, this takes also a couple quarters to materialize. But we're comfortable with what we're seeing. And also we are going in the right direction. System integration is something also very important. I mean, in the current stage in which all the corporate systems are unified, what happens is that first we can unify the whole corporate structure in the back office and unify the processes in the back office, so there's some savings, some increase of productivity in the back office that we achieve. But much more important than that is that the execution of the stores, especially in Drogasil, starts getting better. For example, the sales terminal that we have at the pharmacy counter, this is almost a satellite of our corporate retail system. So the sales system at Drogasil, in 100% of Drogasil stores already, is a much better sales system in which our staff has the full information required to make sales on. Let's say you ask for a specific product, we know if the product is on Farmacia Popular or not, and if it is, you probably take it for free or very little copays. We know if the product has a generic, how much it costs, and you can choose or not the generic. We know if the product is part of a manufacturer program with this much of discount. If we have a partnership with a health insurance company to which the consumer may be affiliated. So there are a lot of execution things that we're already doing better at the store as a function of this integration. It takes a while to materialize. People are getting used still with the new systems. Another dimension that we start to have full flexibility in pricing. The Drogasil, the previous Drogasil system was very limited in terms of pricing. So we can now work pricing in a much more effective way. It doesn't mean that the margins are going up or down because of that, but let's say that the promotional allowance that we currently have will be better distributed across stores and across products. So this is where we are. As we finalize the integration of the checkout systems, then we start gaining in terms of CRM and more advanced promotional features that we still cannot access at Drogasil.
Okay, that's great. Thank you, Eugene.
Just to clarify, Guilherme, we did last year 175 renovations. I think the bulk of these were in the first episode. The bulk of these were Drogasil. And this year we expect to do 216 stores, and there will be a significant number of higher renovations as well, but the majority will be Drogasil.
And the renovation is part of our business, okay? We have almost this number every year to renovate the stores, not only this year, okay?
Okay, and are you concentrating on any specific quarter of the year, or is the plan to do the 215 stores throughout the year? How's the schedule looking like, Eugenio?
We are starting for the renovation with the top stores, and especially the stores in São Paulo. So it's a combination of service-oriented stores. I mean, no doubt that when you have a format issue, it makes much of a difference with a more sophisticated service-oriented consumer than it makes with a more price-oriented consumer, with a less HPC-driven consumer. So we are starting mostly, not only in São Paulo, and we're starting with the top stores, and then we're moving down the scale.
And okay.
The year should be by next year.
Okay, all right. Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Richard Cashcraft of Banco Espírito Santo would like to make a question.
I've got a couple of questions. The first one is just about the same-store sales in mature stores and whether you can give us an idea of what's happening so far in the first quarter. I mean, we should see an improvement given the weak comp, so should we be looking at something, you know, around 8 or 9%? And then the second thing, just in the fourth quarter, how did you manage to improve the payroll as a percentage of sales after you agreed such a large wage settlement in Sao Paulo? Thanks.
Richard, thank you for the questions. We are seeing a better scenario in mature stores in the first quarter. We had a very strong January, but probably a month that is not representative of the full year because the weather was very dry and very hot in a month that generally is rainy. So January will help, but January is not multiplying itself over the rest of the year. When we see February and March, we are at a good level. We are happy with what we see, not as high as January, but we are above inflation. So we should have a first quarter mature store number ahead of inflation, better than the fourth quarter. So things are happening pretty well. You said something correctly, that we were able to have some dilution in payroll expenses in the fourth quarter. I think what happens here is a combination of better control, we'll be more effective with that, and better revenues. I mean, people think of sales expenses as variable expenses, when indeed they are fixed expenses. Rentals are fixed. You can sell zero or 2 million in a store that still pay the same rentals agreed by contract. And the number of employees have very little flexibility, very little latitude in changing that, because they have to cover long shifts. A lot of stores open 8 to midnight, other stores are 24/7. So we need to have a pharmacist full time at the store. We have store managers and also system managers. So and we don't have commissions. We have some variable compensation, but it's not that big at the store level. So in the end, the most important thing is basically to have a good sales performance. So the combination of a better sales performance with some work in terms of headcount, and the reality is that I think the comp base of 2012 was probably very high in terms of people. So over the year, we were able to improve our control on the payroll. Having costs and payroll is not something that is sustainable for the longer term. When we look longer term, payroll will be always biting a part of our results. Rental is a different story. We already see an improvement in rent in the fourth quarter versus the whole year, and I think this is probably sustainable because what happened is that the property market has peaked for quite some time. So when we are renewing contracts, of course, we are bringing contracts that were below market to the market level. But each year that we do that, the increase is smaller than it was in the previous year. So I don't know if the one quarter is enough to get to that conclusion, but we get the sense that rental expenses it's still pressuring, but the pressure is easing out. So instead of 0.2 that we saw over the year, we saw 0.1 in the fourth quarter. Let's see if we maintain the number, but it's a very encouraging number. And then the whole plan here is tying sales expenses a victory. I don't know if we can tie sales expenses next year, but at least we'll have total expenses in line or diluted, and then the gross margin improvement plus whatever stays in terms of sales expense improvement, because sales expense is a challenge, but G&A improves. The total should be in line or slightly better. So the combination of some surplus on the expense side plus gross margin improvement should translate on better profitability next year.
Thanks very much. Can I just have a follow-up on the gross margin? Okay. So first of all, just at the end, you said you're expecting that to improve in 2014. Is that mainly you focusing on generics and trying to improve conversion of that in stores? And then just the second thing, the comments that you made about the gross margin for the fourth quarter, you said that fell slightly because of the high base from the previous year. But in 2012, I was under the impression that most of the improvement came from synergies. So have you had to reinvest some of that improvement? Just a bit more color about the gross margin for the fourth quarter, if you can. Thanks.
Great. Thanks, Richard. No, the gross margin synergy, it happened in the beginning of the fourth quarter. So the fourth quarter, let me rephrase. The purchasing improvement story happened a lot at the beginning of the year, but the fourth quarter of 2012, I think even comparing to other quarters, was a very high quarter. We had 26.2% in the third quarter of the year, and then we had 27.1% in the fourth quarter of the year. Both the third quarter and the fourth quarter were affected by the tax situation. But certainly what happened is that we probably had a higher concentration of trade allowances in the 4Q12 versus the 3Q12. Our gross margin is not seasonal. The only seasonal quarter is the second quarter. The second quarter is not comparable with any other quarter. But the remaining three quarters, they are comparable among themselves. And we see the fourth quarter, the gross margin is absolutely in line with that of the third quarter and that of the first quarter of the year. So I think the gross margin of the quarter represents where we are, and certainly we now benefit as we get back to the older tax regime, and as in the second quarter we'll have a margin improvement coming from a better tax situation. So this is one of the drivers for margin expansion. I think purchasing can be another driver, we'll see, but we are not counting with generics because we have tailwinds with generics. We are not seeing new generics being launched. We are seeing sometimes similar prescription drugs being launched that compete with the generics. So yes, we can execute better the generics, but in the current scenario, maintaining generics penetration, I think it's reasonable. So mix should
should not be a factor in our margin improvement. Margin improvement will come from certainly the reversion of the tax scenario and possibly some purchase improvements.
Okay, that's great. Thanks very much.
This will be the final announcement. In order to ask a question, please press star 1 or a telephone keypad at this time.
Acabou.
Mr. Richard Cashcraft of Banco Espírito Santo, would you like to make a question?
Hi, it's Richard again. There's only a few questions, so I will just ask one more if you don't mind. Just again on the gross margin, can you just talk about how you're seeing competition, particularly in São Paulo? Are you seeing any change in the competitive environment, anybody being more aggressive on pricing? So like I said, particularly in São Paulo, but perhaps also in some other regions as well, so the south, and then what kind of experience you're having with the first few stores in the northeast. Thanks.
Richard, well, we have to acknowledge that I think we are now in a tougher market than we were before. Having said that, we don't have pressure all across the board. We have had localized pressures. For example, São Paulo, nothing is happening in São Paulo. São Paulo is almost a profit sanctuary where both us and Drogaria São Paulo make a ton of money and nobody plays funny games. So São Paulo is a market that we haven't seen any differences, any changes in commercial policy, and this is a very, very important basis for us. Then I think the main difference in competitive scenario, differently from what most people think, is not the entrance of new competitors. We have seen new entrants in the industry, new entrants from abroad, new entrants from another industry, but these movements have been basically people buying assets, so it's existing assets under new ownership. Existing assets under new ownership is not added competitive pressure. What is added competitive pressure is when we see competitors opening stores. We are seeing competitors, existing historical competitors, opening more stores. And so these openings have brought localized pressures here and there. We have margin pressures in Goiânia with competitors entering. We had margin pressures in Espírito Santo. But the good thing is that we have such a broad geographic presence that we can redeploy resources from markets where we don't have competitive pressures to other markets where sometimes we need to up the ante in terms of prices. We haven't seen up to now any disturbances in the south. I think that we pressured other people in the south as we opened stores in Santa Catarina and the countryside of Paraná. Any new operation, you need in the beginning to have low gross margins to build the brand. And with time, margins are moving up. Already, we have a good level of margins in the south, both in Paraná and in Santa Catarina. So that's a volunteer movement. When you enter a new market, you have to do some additional price investments, and that's part of the calculation towards achieving the returns that we aspire and that we have historically achieved. So I think we have only had regional pressures, and we have been able to compensate one market with others, and we have been able to maintain gross margins even on a scenario of added tax pressures. And finally, I think this is not a cutthroat market. This is a competitive market. I think a lot of people overestimate the importance of pricing in the competitive landscape. I think for the consumers we service in the kind of stores that we operate, stores that have prime locations, stores that have easy parking, easy access, great purchase experience, service, and so on, I think the hierarchy of choice for a consumer is first location. So being the first in the best locations is something that absolutely makes a difference. The second is brand. Within the stores that are conveniently located, you choose the brands that we trust.
if you're driving in São Paulo in a big in a big traffic, in a big jam, with security issues, you don't want to be stopping pharmacy after pharmacy. You pick the pharmacy you trust, but of course that the brand is a promise of execution. If you feel that you were not well serviced, the prices were not honest or so on, you may move next time to a different player. But as far as we execute well, the consumers don't leave us. So prices are part of execution, prices are relevant, but prices are way, way, way less important than most investors think of.
Okay, thanks very much.
Thank you.
It appears there will be no future questions. Now I'll turn the conference back to Eugenio Zangossis for his final remarks.
Well, thank you all for attending our conference call. We are happy to leave 2013 behind and to build upon the good stuff, the good things that we're able, the breakthroughs that we're able to have in the year. So as we enter 2014, we are leveraging a significant progress in the systems integration. We are leveraging a significant improvement in store execution from the renovations and from other initiatives. And I think we are very positive for the year. We already see a better first quarter. Still early to tell if the first quarter is better or in line with last year, but we don't expect it to be worse for sure. Maybe it could be better. And I think in the second quarter, the difference should become self-evident. So thank you all for your support as shareholders. We know that we acknowledge that a lot of you have been through in the good and the bad days, and we're very happy to see that we're starting 2014 in much better shape, not only in terms of sales trends, but as a company, in terms of management, in terms of execution focus that we were last year, and certainly this effort will pay out. So thank you very much. And we're always here for visits, for calls, whatever you need from us. Thanks.
Thank you. Hydro Brasil conference call is finished. Have a nice day.